Please be seated. I'd like to invite Ricky Barker to come forward to speak with us this morning. Our stewardship journeys often begin with stories of our own lives, and Ricky is here to share a story with you. And as we move into this stewardship season, there'll be more opportunities to tell stories and to listen, and Ricky will talk a little bit about that, but we welcome him this morning.
Thank you. Get in the dumpster, Ricky. Dad motioned for me to rise from my slumped position in the front seat of our car and join him. I weighed my option and chose the one that satisfied him, for I felt I owed him for adopting me, and I still hungered for his affection. I exited the car, and Dad lifted me into the grocery store's dumpster. Dumpster diving was nothing new for him. Dad had often stopped at dumpsters to sniff out a good deal. He had lived through the Great Depression and learned from his parents how to stretch, to squeeze, to make do. The money he earned as a railroad clerk was his and his alone to spend. His father had taught him the hard lessons of raising a family, of being stern on wants and stubbornly accommodating on needs. At 11 years old, I became his apprentice. My role until now was to stay in the front seat and watch him as he walked along dumpsters and pretended to throw trash away. Dad wanted the unwanted. The unwanted meant extra dollars to supplement his paycheck. The unwanted also meant money for his bourbon to keep his blood flowing just right. At least that's what the doctor told him. Dad stood over 6 foot tall and weighed 250 pounds. He wore size 13 shoes that I shined every week for a quarter. He would wear his shirts until his elbows shone through and then cut them for short sleeves for the summer months. Our food came mostly from the land, from the Clinch River that weaved its path through the holler we lived in. The river supplied food all year round from our trot lines and gigging fish on winter nights. We raised over 200 chickens for meat and eggs. And each year, after the first full moon in November, we killed our fattened pig. In our four gardens, we grew sweet corn, tomatoes, potatoes, green beans, and other vegetables. What we didn't eat harvest time, we sold, bartered, and canned. Winter was harder. We stretched our meals with canned fruits and vegetables and potatoes stored in the basement. Perhaps I was in the dumpster because Dad just didn't want to pay for the things that were so plentiful in the summer months. I stood away from the dumpster side openings. My older brother's classmate makes work part-time as stock boys for the Piggly Wiggly grocery store, and could come out, see me, and would be all over school the next day. My classmates would look at me with those eyes, those pity eyes, those wait until recess and I'll make fun of you eyes. I scouted the contents of the dumpster in the dim glow of the street light. I found several heads of lettuce underneath a paper towel box. In the dark corner laid several 4-packs of tomatoes in a bag of green peppers wrapped in clear plastic, crushed but not rotten. After checking for unwanted eyes, I handed my finds to Dad. "Anything else, Rick?" "No." "What about inside that trash bag over there?" "Ari, look there," I said softly, knowing his reply. "Then look again," he barked. Perhaps it was the Scot-Irish in him that made him too stubborn to admit that he may be wrong, or maybe yelling was the way things got done by his father. I dumped the bag and kicked the contents with my sneakers. "Nothing. Can I get out now?" I said as I shivered in the January night. "I reckon," he said, in a way I knew he hadn't gotten enough. On the way home, I watched him, waiting for him to say something. I wanted a sign from him that I was useful. I looked hard for it every day, in the tone of his voice, in the way he looked at me. I wanted to be just like my classmate Kim and her dad. I remember being 8 years old and sitting in my school bus as I watched the smartest school in my second grade class walking home with her dad. Oh, how he hugged her. And those smiles, those wonderful smiles on their faces, smiles birthed in the heart. Kim's smiles kept coming as they talked, as he touched her shoulder, rubbed her head. I remember the lump in my throat and the dull ache inside, yet I would not let it take me. I tried to convince my dad, convince myself that Dad did care for me. I felt it on those days he didn't yell at me, or when I'd finished a hard chore, he would say, "Much obliged." Also thought I felt it when we laughed together after I fixed him his second and third drinks while he was driving. I resolved that I just needed to be a better son. I needed to listen more, work harder, and feel orders to his pleasing. It would come then, and then I would know for sure. As I stared at Dad while he drove home, I considered saying something about how scared I was and that I still did it for him and for our family. And with what I found, how great Mom's stuffed peppers would taste after a hard day's work. But I chose to say nothing, for I feared what he would not say. So I turned away from him with my blue eyes watering. I swallowed hard, looked into the darkness, and sat in the silence between us. Over 3 decades have passed since that day I was that frightened boy in the dumpster. I stand before you today with a grateful heart, honored to speak in the Lord's house. I'm grateful for my beautiful family. There can be no finer son to me than Trevor. He makes my heart sing every day. And my lovely wife, Deanna, stands strong beside me during my struggles and has shown me what true love is all about. I'm grateful for a wonderful home, a responsible job, close friends, and this church, which helped me grow nearer to God every day. Yesterday, I have everything I need and more, much more. Some people have asked me, what's led you to rise above the challenges of your childhood? I respond that it was finding Jesus in a church I grew up in, and Jesus finding me through the people that touched my life. Ever since I was in the first grade, my father required my brothers and sisters and I to attend the First Baptist Church in Virginia every Sunday, even though he nor my mom ever stepped foot in church. It was there that the teachers taught me all about this great man named Jesus. I was moved by his acts of healings and the love to the outcasts, the lowly people. I was thrilled to know that he loved me so much. I was even more amazed that he was beaten by whips, stabbed, stuck with thorns, and raised on the cross to die for me. But before he died, he said, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." So when my parents started their nightly fights and the dishes began breaking against walls and the terrible words start filling my ears, or in the midst of being beaten by my mother, I could think of my hero Jesus and be brave like him and realize my parents did not know what they were doing to me. And in those hard times, I would talk with him and tell him what was going on. And I would cry with him. And after that, I knew I had what I needed to face another day. And all along the way, from then to now, God sent his angels through teachers, coaches, friends, my older brothers, my older sister, Kathy, my wife, my son. All these angels saved me by showing me what I could not see for myself. That I was smart, that I was a good person, and that if I worked hard and loved the Lord, good things would come. So here I am today, a man with a grateful heart. And there's many times on Sundays when I walk down this aisle for the Lord's Supper, and I look up and see his cross. My blue eyes water again because I know I couldn't have made it without him. So it may not surprise you that I'm on the stewardship committee. And after sharing my story, it may not surprise you that my wife and I pledge every year. Our main goal this year on the stewardship committee is to increase participation up to 75% of our membership. We have under 40% today. The 75% participation goal is ambitious, but clearly achievable. We need each of you to pledge to St. Paul's. The amount you pledge, of course, is up to you. That comes through discernment and prayer. The important thing, I ask, is that you make a pledge. I believe that making a pledge brings people closer to God, and making a pledge helps St. Paul's to make an even greater impact on its members and the community at large. You know that we at St. Paul's have a lot to celebrate. This church is growing and vibrant. We have over 70 ministries that are making a difference, changing people's lives every day. On behalf of the stewardship committee, I want to invite everyone to one of two events this coming week. The first one, and the purpose of these is to celebrate what St. Paul's has done and what it hopes to do in the future. You should have received a letter in a yellow envelope inviting you to these. The first event is a wine and cheese social next Friday, March 5th, from 7 to 9 in the parish hall. We'll have a band for entertainment, and for those members with children, we have child care. I know you love your children, but don't you deserve a night out? The other event will be immediately following the 11:15 service next Sunday, March 7th. We will have a soup and sandwich lunch in the fellowship hall. Both events will be enjoyable, so please sign up in the narthex after the service. In closing, I want to thank you for listening to my story and why I pledged to St. Paul's. God is truly working in this church through each of us. His hands are picking people up when they're down. His arms are giving those everything is going to be all right hugs to those who are faced with tragedies. He stands boldly beside us when we are falsely accused and when we are judged as not fitting in. His voice rings triumphantly through our songs and praise. And his smiles shine on the faces of our children as they find what they need to sustain them in the years that lie ahead. God is doing these things and more through our gifts. Like me, I believe you have a story about how God has moved your lives and touched your lives to bring you to this special moment right now. And I hope through prayer that we all will find a way to share our gifts with God as we reaffirm what we know to be true. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thy own have we given thee. Amen.